Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Pixar Top 10.
Pixar Top 10, our top 10 favorite Pixar movies, individual favorite movies. And the way we're going to do this is we're going to start from 10, I assume. And as
we're in the podcast. I didn't even know we were in the podcast, dude.
Oh, we're here, dude. We're here now. Do you not want to be here?
Nah, I'm chill.
Okay. I just thought that was the soft handoff. Anyway, so
yeah, it wasn't very. It was soft enough where I was like, I don't even think I'm in a podcast right now.
So we're gonna start on our 10 and go backwards. And as we inevitably repeat one of the other guys' picks, we will only talk about it once to spare you the gushing a second time. So
yeah, a lot of gushing. Yeah. So
yeah,
like Adam was saying, some context here. Oddly enough, we've been doing this podcast in one form or another for almost a decade, but we have never done a list. We've never done a top 10 Pixar movies of all time, according to us, right? Our favorite ones, which is insane for us to be doing a TV / movie podcast and never just milk the cow. That is, let's make a list of Pixar movies is bonkers.
Well, honestly, so, it's probably better that we waited because we had some pretty fire ones come out. So,
right. I will say, for context, again, while making this list, I realized the ones I haven't seen. And so I just want to make very, very clear, like, I haven't seen Monsters U. I really want to see it. I haven't seen Turning Red. I've heard great things.
Same. That was one I haven't seen either.
Seen Soul. I've never felt the need to see Soul, but I should see it just to be a completionist.
You should see it.
Okay. I believe you. And Luca. I've never seen that either.
Same.
I barely remembered it existed.
Yeah. And like, I think I also hadn't fully watched The Good Dinosaur, but I think I watched it enough to not even have it part of my list. So.
No, it sucks. It sucks. Good Dinosaur sucks. It's not a very good dinosaur. It should be called The Bad Dinosaur.
It's a bad dinosaur.
I remember I watched it in a group. We were all looking around like, do we keep watching this?
Yeah, probably not, right?
It was one of the only Pixar movies I've ever felt that about while watching.
That's a bummer. It's a bummer.
It's okay. No. The rest of them are bangers, which is why making a top 10 list is hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It is. Absolutely. Yep.
But we will count down from 10, and I will start off with my number 10, which is Brave.
Lovely.
Coming out in 2012. As you might recall, Princess Merida. I can't do
I'll be
Scottish
fighting for my own hands.
See, I knew. I knew when I... That's the cornerstone of this podcast. Me doing a bad accent and then Adam being like, don't worry about it. I got this.
She's
great. Defying customs, man. And bringing chaos to the kingdom.
Oh,
so,
I loved it. That was a great
one. She has one wish. And... she makes her mom a bear, and it is about motherhood. It is about the relationship between a mother and a daughter, specifically in the medieval times in Scotland. It has some of the best red hair animation ever put to screen.
That's kind of like they had to invest $100 million in just the red hair aesthetic.
Right. Just to make it flow.
Yeah.
And the songs. Oh my god, the soundtrack.
It is very good. Like where she's riding the horseback and she's practicing her targeting of her arrows. And it's like a very free and proud song. Very nice.
And we have like the who's who of Scottish actors, Craig Ferguson, yeah. Robbie Coltrane, Julie Walters, Billy Connolly, Kelly MacDonald, and then Emma Thompson. I don't think is Scottish, but she's in there. What this is me stalling to make sure she is not Scottish. She was born in London. I knew it.
Hey.
Anyway. Yeah, every time a Brave song comes on, not the radio. I don't listen to the radio. Spotify, I don't skip because they are all bangers. And like many of the Pixar films that we are about to discuss, absolutely made me bawl crying. It's just the thing about Brave is that because I'm a man, I really don't. I've had trouble relating to like mother-daughter relationships in movies because it's just not my experience. This movie did it perfectly. Mm. And, you know, like a teenage daughter rejecting her mother, but to the point where her mother almost dies because of it. And then, you know, taking a tarp and making it whole as simultaneously making their relationship whole. And,
got me good. A lot more at stake in medieval times, you know? I agree. Great movie. Although this was one of the few that did not make me shed that lowly tear.
Oh, you're dead inside.
Yeah, a little bit, I suppose. But
you are.
This one just didn't do it for me. And I still like it. I still own it.
You know why?
But
probably because of the thing I just said. I do think there is a bit of an outer shell on this movie, specifically for like 36 to 37 year old white American males whom it is a little tough to break through that shield just because of lack of experience on the subject matter.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
At the same time, banger.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great one. And I love the little brothers that eat cookies all the time.
In fact, we should cover that at the end. Like the characters in Pixar films do this perfectly. Like always have a side character as a comedic relief.
For sure.
And it's part of the juice, right? It's part of the gumbo.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. So my number 10. And again, this is difficult, but this is one of the ones I was talking about from the beginning. It is a newer one, but I think it's worthy of being on this top list, as is maybe one or two other ones. But I have Inside Out 2 as my 10. And, you know, the sequel to Inside Out, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in a few moments.
Yeah, at some point.
Inside Out 2 perfectly just captures the anxiety emotion in teenagers coming of age. Just
oddly enough,
unreal.
The female teenage experience.
Yes.
But in a whole different light, right? This
Very
is in
different.
Modern day America.
Yep.
This is a little girl who moved from her home at a young age and uprooted her entire life. And we are seeing it was always such a I love the idea of Inside Out anthropomorphizing like the emotions inside anyone.
Yeah.
I recently watched this, by the way. I've only seen Inside Out 2 about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was great. Made me cry. They all do.
This one did that for me, you know, towards the end there. Just really, really powerful. And like you said, Pixar does a really wonderful job of creating a visual to something that's never been visualized before. And they're just masterful at it. And you could pick a lot of these movies and say the same thing about it. They're, you know, it's just they are so good at writing and making you feel things. And Inside Out 2 just expanded upon what they did in the first movie, which again, we're going to talk about, so I'm not going to go too far into it.
Yeah, it didn't make my top 10, perhaps just because I've watched it very recently and it hasn't fully sunk in, but also just because there are a lot of good movies to list.
For sure.
And I didn't really connect fully with the added emotions, the added teenage emotions. I think they underused ennui. I think they underused envy. I think they underused whatever Paul Walter Hauser, Embarrassment. I think they used those a lot, and they really leaned into Anxiety, which I can understand.
Yeah, of course.
Maya Hawke did a great job, and Anxiety is, you know, one of the main ones that everybody vibes on.
Yeah, and it's like become so prevalent in society, just the recognition.
It's always been around, but now we talk about it.
You know what I mean? Like the recognition of anxiety being
That
it exists, and people suffer severely from very bad anxiety, and it's crippling, and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it gets into some sort of frenzy that, you know, joy, sadness, anger, disgust. Fear, which, by the way, they recast.
They did. That's
fear,
right.
And disgust, which I was like, why? Don't.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, because it was Bill Hader, right, in the first one?
It was Bill Hader, yeah. And it was Mindy Kaling.
That's
but
right.
They changed it to Tony Hale, who, by the way, is amazing in Arrested Development, and
sure.
Liza Lapira, who I don't know that person, but. Also another bummer.
It was pretty good though. Like I kind of forgot about it after a few minutes into the movie. So,
yeah, no, of course they did good enough mimicry to that I didn't barely notice it, but they also underused those characters a lot. Like they when you add four or five emotions, it's tough to have a lot of screen time for all of them, which is like my main issue with a movie that I loved.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it expanded on it a lot, and I mean, I just loved the story of it. The whole, oh, this emotion is moving in and we're taking over, and that's all that I know, so that's what's happening. And I just thought it was so thoughtfully done and very relatable. Very relatable.
Right. And before I move on, really looking forward to the upcoming Inside Out based Disney Plus show where they talk about dreams.
Oh, that's a thing?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's news. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Right on. I love that.
We are going way back in time now. My Ooh. Number nine is A Bug's Life.
Lil Bug.
Well, I'm going to just.
Little Bug. Was a bug. Little Bug. Hardly there.
Randy Newman.
I'm just going to say this right now first before you get into it. This is my number one. This is my number one movie on my list.
Why did you ruin it? You've just ruined the
podcast. No, it's fine. We're just going to go all the way down. It's fine. I want to gush on it now.
Sort of. Oh, okay. You didn't have to say it was number one. You could have said it's high up.
I understand that.
As a person who listens to podcasts, what I love is when people ruin lists.
It's only my number one. Still got the rest of them.
Yeah, you're half of the people. You're half of it. Okay, whatever. A Bug's Life, Lil Bug. So.
Guess what my number two is.
I won't. Stop saying the tops of lists.
Go. What's a bug? Little bug.
Okay. So greedy grasshoppers, right? Kevin Spacey, tough. But, or not tough. I don't know what that
is. Yeah. I don't know what's happening anymore.
I don't know what's happening there. Just someone tell me. But an amazing cast here. Richard Kind, John Rant, Hayden Panettiere, Dave Foley, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, David Hyde Pierce, Dennis Leary, like Bonnie Hunt, Brad Garrett. Just unreal. And
real good.
John Lasseter and Andrew Stanton making the, like, back in the day when the original core Toy Story team, basically, making all of these. I mean, this is 1998, right? This is a formative movie, right? I saw this when I was 13 years old, 14 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
Can't do math. And it was still at the time where CGI was generally ish new.
Yes.
But this was like pushing the boundaries of it. Then all of these were pushing the boundaries of it. In fact, you could argue that they still are.
Yeah, I hope that we get a remastered version of this, because even in 4K high def, like the highest quality you can get of this, it is glaring that it's old Pixar CGI. And it's fine. It has its place. The colors are still good. It still looks really great and the story is amazing. But it is glaringly obvious when you compare it to the likes of Inside Out.
Well, of course. I don't need the old Pixar movies to visually hold up, right? We're going to have a few more here on this list that we will also discuss, like, not visually holding up. But this is the mid to late 90s.
I know.
This is as good as it could have been at the time, and that
I remember watching this on a DVD player on a computer because we didn't have a TV DVD player yet. It was only on a computer.
Watching this like on a DVD player in a car in the on like in, with a TV in the back, like a random crazy bad TV in the back of a chair,
a Ford Econoline,
something like that. Yeah, I don't know why I was in a van, but. Misfit story, dude.
Like, I love it. You know, I love it so much. The whole idea of like the Bugs world coming to life was so, so fun. And yeah, the characters are all memorable. Every single one of them is memorable.
What's your number nine, my man?
My number nine, we are going to go with Monsters, Inc., the first Monsters, Inc. movie.
Mm-hmm.
Another one. Put something to screen that we never really had before. How monsters generate power with scares. Like, it's just very cool. And again, and this is going to be the same for every Pixar movie, so I'm really not going to continue saying it. Very memorable characters. Every single character is memorable. And a really fun story. Love the story.
Incredible performances by Billy Crystal and John Goodman.
Oh my gosh. The running joke of Mike Wazowski still being hidden by stickers and stuff is amazing.
Yeah. Someone is at my door and I don't
know. Do it. Go get your food. Go get your food, dude.
Was a bug, little bug, hardly there.
As Ryan gets his food, I want to also mention the movie Ants with a Z, like boys with a Z, around the same time period as A Bug's Life, and I think they were like competing at one point, and A Bug's Life is just clearly better, but they had a song in the Ants movie where it was something about a rubber tree plant, and I can never get that out of my head, and that's just there now, so... that's it. Now I'll wait for Ryan. And Ryan's back.
Okay, so that was a person trying to sell me milk.
What?
There were like two girls. They had smocks on that were like cow smocks.
Yeah.
And they were like, we do milk door to door. Do you like that?
What are we in the 50s?
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't want that.
Does it have the cream on the top? Did it have the cream on the top?
Of course. Wow. They were like, do you like meat? Do you like deli meat? Do you like milk? Do you like groceries?
Yeah, it's
like,
called DoorDash.
Yeah, that's a very general question you just asked. Yeah. And then I said I'm in a call, like I was doing something for work, but I'm just doing a list of top 10 Pixar movies. But
if they only knew.
What I need to do is not be in this conversation about milk bottles anymore.
And that took longer than it should have, knowing what the context
was. I know. Yeah, right. Everybody listening, that was very, but it took forever. And she kept calling me love. Okay, love.
No.
I don't like that.
You
know
what?
You know why I don't like that? You have to have an English accent to call me love. That's such a choice.
That is a choice. So while you were away, I was just Googling, and that dream show about Inside Out, it's called Dream Productions, and it came out December 11th.
What the heck?
It's already out. Four episodes.
Is it on the Disney Plus?
Yeah, I think it's only going to be four episodes. It's like a little mini series.
Okay, so my bad. I'm just going to watch all that. Anyway.
Total of 82 minutes.
Okay, cool.
Love that.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc.
Yeah. You said you hadn't seen Monsters U, and it's not on my top 10, but I would like to comment briefly on it. I like it. It kind of gets varied reviews, I think. It's definitely not as good as the first one. The first one's always better in that sense. But I think it was very well done. It's kind of the story of how Mike and Sully meet. And it's very, very sweet, very fun. And you should watch it. So watch that.
Okay, I will.
Right on. All right, what is your number eight?
Number eight is The Incredibles, and this is on a lot of people's lists. It's number one. The public discourse on Pixar is that a lot of people choose this as the best Pixar movie.
Wild.
And I want to rewatch it, honestly, because of the amount of lists I looked up and like seeing what other people were saying. They're incredibly high in this movie, but yeah, just, you know, quiet suburban life this family has, but oh, they're superheroes.
Yeah,
and
they're superheroes.
But I mean, obviously the character design is incredible. Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah.
Holly Hunter, Samuel L. Jackson in this movie too.
Wait. The character design is what?
Incredible. Shut up, dude. You shut your stupid mouth. Yeah, that's a good point though. Yeah, it's a good point. That is what I said. So
yeah, this is great. Kind of what I wanted some of the Marvel stuff to kind of be like.
Yeah.
And it is kind of like the Fantastic Four a little bit, but I think this is better, especially all of the Fantastic Fours we've gotten so far. They're just not that good. So
no, and I will say not on my list is Incredibles 2, although it is great. I think also Jack coming into being like an actual character other than just like the, as we previously discussed, like comedic effect, baby.
Mm. Yep.
Now just being like, oh, also maybe the strongest one is really cool. Just not on my list because, again, I do have to rewatch it because a lot of people put Incredibles 2 on their top 10 list as well. So
same. I haven't seen the Incredibles 2 since my first watch, so I'm probably due for a rewatch on that one too.
Yeah, I mean, the Incredibles came out in 2004. Right. Jeez, when we were still in high school.
God, that's crazy. That is crazy.
But like, I think what you said is really apt. It's what you kind of felt like you wished some Marvel stuff was like.
Yeah,
this was also in the time where, I mean, it's coming up, it's just as Marvel was becoming Marvel. But like, you know, beginning of Marvel, the Jon Favreau vibe, the Joss Whedon vibe, like it got into a weird little place. I remember thinking like 2011, 2012, as we were getting into the weird mix of Marvel movies that you can perhaps take or leave, depending on who you are. Like, yeah, I do wish it had the fun vibe that The Incredibles did an amazing job conjuring. Mm,
yes, for sure. I think, it's also an animated kids movie, you know, at its core. So a little bit sillier than like a straight edge Marvel superhero movie with a huge budget, but it is what it is. And
to be fair though, those early Marvel movies, a lot of them were like aimed at kids.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
And true. As they got out of that, or I don't even know if they were trying to get out of that, but that is like the kind of magic that it lost in the middle.
Yeah.
And it is that magic that I'm describing is like tried and true in the Incredibles franchise.
Oh, for sure. Now, do you think that we will get, because it's so close to the Fantastic Four, we think we'll get a little bit of that in the new Fantastic Four that's coming out with Pedro Pascal?
No, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think they're running. We should not be talking about Marvel in the Pixar show, but yeah, I think they're running away from like the quippy, Whedon-esque dialogue. They're trying to get away from it as much as possible. I don't know if they're going to go gritty. I don't know. Like, will you go Ragnarok or will you go Dark Thor? I don't like, you know, yeah, or no, where you, gotcha. Will you find somewhere in the middle?
Sure.
They just have to outpace the old Fantastic Four.
That's all it needs to do. And I think it will
not
do.
Gonna be, yeah, it's not that hard. It's a pretty low bar.
Okay, so my number 8 is going to be Soul, and I know you haven't watched Soul, but I'll just briefly describe it. Joe, a middle school a middle school band teacher whose life hasn't quite gone exactly how he's expected. His true passion is jazz music, but when he travels to another realm to help someone find their passion, he soon discovers what it's meant to have soul. And this movie is centered so heavily, clearly, on music. So I'm surprised that you haven't seen this one yet. I think you'll really like this one. I think it's incredibly well done at, again, explaining something that doesn't have a visual. Pixar is so good at just dumbing it down enough where a kid can understand this very complex emotion, this like an Inside Out, or very complex idea of a soul of a human and what that means and what it explains. And so good. Jamie Foxx, Tina Fey, Graham Norton. We even get a little Questlove peppered in there from The Roots. So, and also David Diggs is in it too. So again, you need to watch this. This is a great one. But it kind of took me by surprise. I didn't think it would be on point as much as the other ones, but the animation is so good. The performances are really top notch. Yeah, highly recommend watching this if you haven't.
Yeah, I like Band.
I was in a band.
I was in Band, and what has Raleigh kept me away from Soul the most is that I think jazz music is just, I don't like it. So
there are a couple of scenes where it's like, okay, that like really characteristic jazz where like it's free form kind of weird notes everywhere, but it does settle into more of like the passion for music and how you can hear things. Like people who have an ear for music can hear things in everyday scenarios, and it's great, and the idea is really cool, and I'm gonna kind of want to rewatch this now that I'm talking.
You sold it to me, and I want to watch it now.
It's good, yeah, it's really good.
Well, look up your next one real quick because it's coming back at you momentarily. Because my number 7 is Monsters, Inc.
Hey, there it is,
and I like it so.
Monsters, Inc. So good. Okay, so my number 7 then is Finding Nemo.
Okay.
Yeah, and Finding Nemo, I think the theater run speaks for itself. I want to say this movie was in theaters for almost a full complete year. I remember this being an incredibly long run in the movie theaters. It just stayed in there. And it's a quintessential Pixar movie. When you say Pixar, people are thinking Finding Nemo. I think a lot of people think Finding Nemo.
Yeah, no, it blew up. Yeah. Like, it was the biggest thing in the world for a pretty long time.
Yeah, and it still kind of is. It's still got it. And again, beautiful Pixar animation, underwater, bright colors.
Right, like how long they figured to do water correctly. It was pretty admirable.
Man. Yeah. Really, really, really nice. And again, a cavalcade of voice actors on this one. I haven't watched this one in a while either. Probably due for a rewatch. I saw Finding Dory more recently, obviously. I didn't like it as much.
Finding Dory. Obviously. Finding Dory is fine.
It's fine. It's okay.
But, and finding, weirdly enough, Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
It's not on my top 10. Obviously, when I first saw it, I loved it. I think you have to have like a cold, dead heart sort of not to.
Yeah, right.
But it's not on my top 10 because it kind of falls into the nostalgia factor for me. Which has its pros and cons. And this one just is slightly a con. Like, I don't know. I just think there are better Pixar movies, but here's the thing. And this is with a lot of these, if I watched it yesterday, it would be on my top 10, right? Like,
sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, no. I mean, it is absolutely a nostalgia thing for me. 2003, this came out. We had just gotten into high school, really, 2002. So I think it's still, the characters really hold their own in this one across the board. I love the shark. Fish are friends, not food. And there are so many quotable things from this movie. And it's going to live on as one of the greats.
My number 6 hurts me.
Oh, no.
Why
does it hurt you?
Because putting it here, I think it's where it should be on my list.
Okay.
Because of the powerhouse that is like my top 5.
Okay.
And like my feelings about them.
Sure.
But it hurt me to do this, and I'm going to explain it. I put Toy Story at 6.
Okay. It's not even on mine. So.
Oh, you're the worst.
Sorry. I like it. It's great. But
this movie changed my life. Like, it
really?
Yeah. I remember watching this movie and as a kid. In 1995.
Yeah.
And being like, I did not know movies could be this.
Sure.
Because they weren't prior. I didn't know they could do this. I didn't know they could make me feel this way. The amount of times I watched Toy Story, I don't know. And it was the beginning of all of this. And the initial idea for Pixar to get off the ground. As we previously discussed, visually, of course it doesn't hold up. It was 1995. But yeah, Randy Newman.
It's still amazing.
Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, Buzz Lightyear, and Woody. Like, Toy Story World, oh my God, at Hollywood Studios. Love that place. The Slinky.
Didn't that just open?
No, it opened a long time ago.
Was it after the year 2000? Yes. Five.
I don't. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, then I haven't seen it since I've been there.
Oh, then why? This is such a okay. Yeah, a lot of things have happened since 2005. Adam.
I know.
I don't know if there's even more to say about like we're going to come back to this universe. I just know it. So I'll wait. But I mean,
what
you know?
What? Well, now that. Since we're talking about it, what
okay
is like what about the feelings that made you feel when you were that young in 1995? Like, what do you remember feeling? Like realizing? Can you like put it to words, or was it just?
Yeah, no, I remember being a kid and being like, "Oh my God, toys probably do come to life when I'm not looking."
So it was the fantasy of it all.
Yeah, of course. But it's sure. Exactly what you were talking about, right? We're like inside out, inside people's heads. A bug yeah. life. You know, it's bugs. Bugs are real. Bugs have human emotions as well. They all have human emotions. And anthropomorphizing things is fun. And I like
yeah.
that. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're going to make it a whole thing. In fact, Pixar is going to make anthropomorphized stuff for 30 years.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning of it all. And
it's also
the story, right? Of... you know, king of the castle gets knocked down a peg, jealousy, envious little cowboy. And he has to learn that he loses the idea for a moment that the most important thing in his life is being Andy's toy. And he becomes like a weird guy for a little bit there, and everybody thinks he sucks.
Yeah.
And he has to prove himself by also like remembering why he exists in the first place, like the existential crisis. That's the other thing. When I was 7, I didn't realize what I was watching was an existential crisis perfectly put to screen. That's what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was like, oh man, I'm gonna let this tumble me mentally downwards for the rest of my life.
You know what's crazy? In 1995, so many other huge movies came out, and the fact that Toy Story is in that mix is crazy. You have Billy Madison, you have Casino, you have Jumanji, Braveheart, Seven, Die Hard with a Vengeance. There's so many great movies. I remember going and seeing Jumanji in theaters. I remember seeing GoldenEye, you know, when it came out. Batman Forever, all these movies came out at the same time. So it's crazy, like, how much we had growing up that is so different now.
Yeah, and by the way, out of all those movies, my favorite one is Toy Story.
Yeah, for sure. out of these, GoldenEye, by far.
Yeah, whatever, dude.
He's my Bond, dude.
This is a Pixar list. Okay.
All right, back on track.
Yeah, it's not me who talked about milk for 2 minutes back there.
All right, my number 6 is probably going to land on your list. It is Ratatouille.
Mm.
Ratatouille is my number 6. I mean, Ryan, you love this movie so much.
It's a perfect movie.
Explain why you love it so much.
I love this movie because it's so weirdly hard to describe. Like,
yeah,
of course, a lot of these movies, what they have in common is that they're underdog stories.
Sure.
But what they also a lot have in common, and I think what Ratatouille does perfectly, is an underdog story where a character you just don't think or should never make it has a big dream and follows that dream to the nth degree and does anything and everything to get it. And while following that dream, realizes that, like, oh my God, I've left my family behind. Mm. I've left perhaps like my sense of morality behind. I've let my dream push all of the most important parts of me to the wayside. And turns out, like, I need both of those things. I can't just let my dream live, but also at the same time, like, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
But I'm a rat. I shouldn't be cooking. Everyone thinks I'm gross. And it's the worst thing you ever, if you walked into a kitchen of any restaurant and you saw a rat, you'd be like, well, never coming back to this restaurant.
Sure.
This one, he cooks good.
He's the good one.
Also, ratatouille is a delicious dish. And
it is delicious. We actually made it because ratatouille is also my girlfriend Hannah's, one of her favorite movies too. And so we recently found a Blu-ray copy and I bought it and we watched it. And it's a great movie. Again, very colorful, very bright, really, really shows a lot of detail of like what would be essentially a Michelin star restaurant kitchen in Paris. And after going on the adventures of a Michelin restaurant in my personal life for real, I really like this movie more now after rewatching it. It's a humble brag.
You're bragging.
We went to Bougainville in Amsterdam. It was great. Anyway.
Oh, my God. You continue to brag.
Anyway.
Another reason, huge reason.
Yeah.
No movie has ever done synesthesia better. Which is the phenomenon that causes a person to experience one sense through another.
Yeah.
And it is like eating a piece of cheese and then the visual aspect of what that makes you feel on the inside.
I do love it.
It is perfectly done in Ratatouille. And God, it's just the perfect movie. It's so good.
Yeah, it just the rat is modern day Michelin star chefs, or even chefs who are not Michelin star, but aspire to be the perfect, creating the perfect dish. And we both love food. I love food. The fact that I wanted to eat every single thing that was presented in this movie, exactly how it looks on screen, is a testament to Pixar as well in their animation style. Everything just looks really, really nice and inviting. And standout performances from so many people, and just lovely movie. And I'm glad you feel the same.
Oh yeah, no, I mean Patton Oswalt.
Yeah,
as Remy, and man. Honestly, it makes me feel sad.
Why does it make you feel sad?
I don't know. That's why it's cool. It makes me feel sad how good this movie is.
It is very, very good. It is very, very good. I hope you're not sad.
I'm not. You know what? It's like what it is mainly is like I'll never get to see it for the first time again, and that hurts.
I feel that way about a bunch of stuff, dude. All right. What is your number five?
My number five is Up.
That is my number five, too.
Look at us, dude.
We are the same.
Well.
This movie made me cry in the theaters.
The first 10 minutes of it is...
Not only the first 10 minutes, it's the very, very end when he reads the album and he sees We've Lived Our Own Adventure Together, and I fucking lost it. I lost it.
Oh, boy.
He got to the falls and then made, his life is complete. Now he can help the kid. Just, like,
right.
Really excellent.
It's just, like, okay, the feeling of being a kid and loving your toys and your toys loving you back and like, it is... I experiencing that watching Toy Story you don't really get amazing portrayals of what being an old cranky ass dude feeling these days. It's just not a movie you can sell a lot of the time with live action, and it's exactly what Up is. The first 10 minutes are perfect.
That could have been a Pixar short and I would have been happy, but I'm so glad that they made it into a movie.
Russell is amazing. John Ratzenberger is obviously in here as a construction foreman. Edward Asner.
He's in a bunch of stuff.
he's in all of them, but also some of the best side characters. We got Doug.
Yeah. Love Doug.
Okay.
Squirrel.
And it was Squirrel. Right. Like that moment. And then, oh my God, I'm not remembering the god dang bird's name. What's the bird?
Oh, Jeff? Is it Jeff?
Up, bird, Kevin.
Kevin.
Tis Kevin. But just, Russell looking for a father figure and finding it in the Least likely of places.
Yeah, and Ed Asner, excellent, just very iconic voice, and he just nailed this role. Again, will cement itself as one of the best.
And just like a house flying with
balloons. A wonderful fantasy.
What a wonderful visual.
Oh my God, it was so beautiful.
And then like the wide shot of the house and the balloon sitting next to the waterfall.
Amazing.
Get out of here.
It was exactly the picture that they painted when they were kids.
Oh.
Comes full circle.
Oh boy.
Yeah, done. Well, since that was my five, what's your number four?
Yeah. Okay. So my number four is Inside Out.
Okay.
Okay. And we talked a bit about Inside Out already, so I'm just going to say this part. There is a part at the end of Inside Out where, as you might recall, Joy is kind of rebelling against the idea of sadness completely.
Yeah, for sure.
And wanting just, Riley needs to just be happy.
Mm.
And Joy learns throughout the movie that it's important for people to feel all feelings and just to let yourself feel everything. And at the end, Joy and sadness touch one memory ball together, and it becomes a multicolored ball for the first time.
Whew.
And they put it in, and it ports to I'm now forgetting the little girl's name. What's the
Riley
girl's name? Riley.
Yeah,
it ports to Riley, and she starts crying because
yes.
She's been gone all day and her parents have been looking for her, and she says, I'm sad that we moved. I miss my friends. I miss my hockey team. I miss my old life. And her parents retort by saying, like, we miss that life too. Like, you're not alone. And Riley says, I'm sorry that I'm sad. Don't be mad at me for being sad.
Mm.
And they are like, what are you talking about? We would never be mad at you for being sad. And then they hug her, and as they hug her, Joy and sadness put like the multicolored ball in, and it is a new core memory, and
yeah.
It makes a whole new island, a family island.
Bro.
And it zooms in on Riley, and she just like smiles and exhales and feels comfortable
yes.
in being like embraced by her parents, and feels like for the first time, like a sense of relief to be able to feel two things at once. And
be able to communicate it.
I don't know. And exactly. And be able to communicate it. I don't know if I've ever cried harder at a movie.
Yeah. I think
lost my goddamn shit.
I think Inside Out, out of all these movies, did the best at explaining the, like, how someone learns. And how, again, it's putting a visual to something that we've never seen before. How a child recognizes emotions and comes to terms with it. And then also, obviously, building that family relationship. Yeah, it's just that scene did it. But bing bong, dude.
Oh, get
bing bong
out of here
scene
with bing bong,
got
dude.
Me. The whole idea of her letting go of her imaginary friends to make room for the rest of her life is, bro, I'm getting goosebumps, dude.
Take her to the moon for me.
Oh my God. Whoa. Oh, and then the music crescendo. It is that scene is so good.
Tell you is the first scene that I described.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you do this or feel as dead inside as I do, but if like I need to feel like if I want to feel or if I want to cry,
yeah,
you know, and I need to find it and I feel like I've just been it's been missing. I go watch the first scene. It's 100% success rate.
Every time.
And I just think it's incredibly valuable to have something like that be made and have something like that available to everybody that like, okay. The idea, and it's such like a foundational idea that it's okay to be sad.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, boy.
And then, you know, when they open up to Inside Out 2, there's like a plethora of multicolored emotions, you know?
Yeah, right.
Really
she's
like
growing
learning.
Up.
Yeah, she's growing up. I just love that so much. I love it. Love it. Love it.
What's your number four, my man?
Okay, my number four is Cars. I love Cars. And maybe it's because I also really, really enjoy vehicles in general, in real life. I think that this was, again, putting feelings and personalities into vehicles, and they all have their different personality based on the type of car that they are and what they do, their job. And I just really love this. It's a feel good movie. I love the setting. You know, in the western part of the United States, it's very warm, it's very inviting, it's very colorful. And I just, this is a nostalgia bomb for me too, for sure. Every time I watch it, it makes me happy. I smile. And I can just put this on as background. It's great.
I love that for you.
Lovely.
Not on my list.
That's okay.
And honestly, one that I need to rewatch because I think it bounced off me the first time.
It's really good.
I know it is. I am aware. I'm aware that it's really good. It
definitely bounced. Chow.
Yeah, I hated that. What you just I didn't like that. It's a little bit Owen Wilson. It's a little bit Larry the Cable Guy.
It is Owen Wilson.
Tomator. I don't know why it just bounces so hard off me.
Also, this is the Cars IP is also massive with all their merch sales and the characters and just so much. They made three movies and a bunch of miniseries. This one exploded, and I think it came out when we graduated high school, 2006, but I just really love Cars, and this just made me feel really good about Cars, and that's really the why it's up there.
I love that for you, man.
Yeah.
My number three is Wally.
Wally.
After 700 years of doing what he was built for, he'll discover what he's meant for.
Oh, God.
Ooh. The first 10 to 15 minutes of this movie has no words spoken.
It's so good.
It is incredible. It also teaches kids about climate change and commercialism and obesity. And one of the most visually stunning movies ever made.
It's a great one. And I was so bummed. Lego had a Wally set that was you could compact Wally into his cube, and it was discontinued, and I wanted it so bad, and I didn't jump on it when I saw it. And Wally is really good. You're making me really, really angry right now because I had it in the back of my mind, but I forgot to put it in. So I'm going to make a last minute adjustment because I got to do it. Cause I completely forgot about this movie.
You forgot about the moment?
And yes, I did. And the whole Eva.
Two robots falling in love.
Amazing.
Get out of here with that.
And then he flies through space on a goddamn fire extinguisher.
And fire extinguishers can't do that, but that's fine. But what the Finding Nemo is to the ocean, Wall-E is to space animation. Yeah,
for sure. And the whole end, did you watch through the entire credits of that movie?
Oh yeah.
Because incredible. It tells you the story about how the humans went back and planted the boot. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. My God.
It's so good. I'm so bummed I forgot about it.
I know. Yeah, me too. There is something, and it is sort of a common thread, but I think is the pinnacle of it in Pixar is Wall-E, which is the idea of hope.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of fighting for perhaps what's not easy, but what's right.
Sure.
And there isn't a lot more lessons that are more important than that, I think, especially to convey to a kid. And and also Wally's so cute.
He's so cute. And all the little robots in that movie were really fun. Even the robot that would clean up his little tracks
his name is Bernie. And
Bernie,
the
they did a
film,
short, yes.
And it lines up with the movie.
Oh,
and you can
watch
them inside back and forth.
Yeah, I love
that. Incredible.
I got to watch that. I remember seeing it. I never watched it, though.
Oh, dude, you haven't seen Bernie, dude?
No, I haven't.
You must.
I must. All right, I will. All right. Well, so my number three is Inside Out, but I want to skip immediately to my number two so you can next because we've talked about Inside Out so much, both of them. Yeah. And I completely forgot about WALL-E. I absolutely hate myself for that because that would have absolutely been in my top five.
You suck, dude. That
so sucks. What? So go to your number two. Go to your number two.
My number two is Toy Story 3.
Oh, okay.
And there are a lot of reasons why Toy Story 3 is my it's number two for me. The expansion of the world. We got Lotso. We got Ken. We got Barbie. We got Mr. Potato Head still around. Jesse, obviously, an amazing character. And Jesse, who obviously gets introduced in Toy Story 2, which should it was almost on this list. But, you know, there are a lot of great movies. And Woody and Buzz, you know, still here, still standing, still strong.
Of course.
There's one very specific reason that it's my number two. And it is when Andy is leaving and giving his toys away to Bonnie, like the end of an era, right? Like a person who is my age and watched Toy Story at the age I was, and then this comes out in
2010,
you know, like as I'm about to leave college at the same time where this goes out. So like, you know, I'm going in a transitional phase from one part of my life to another, and so is Andy. But it's the last scene that I said that the hardest I've ever cried at a movie was that last scene in Inside Out.
Sure.
That's not true. That's the second hardest time I've ever cried at a movie.
How dare you lie?
The first, I don't know. The first time, the most I've cried at a movie is the end of Toy Story 3.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense.
I want to just read it to you.
Really quick. Go ahead. Do it.
Andy opens a box and takes out Jesse. This is Jesse. The roughest, toughest cowgirl in the whole West. She loves critters, but none more than her best pal, Bullseye. Pulls out Bullseye and makes a whinnying sound. Yeehaw. And then this is Rex, the meanest, most terrifying dinosaur who's ever lived. Roar, roar. Bonnie recoils a little bit, then giggles and takes Rex too. See, it's okay to be afraid. It's not that not that scary, Bonnie. Everything's fine. This is the Potato Heads, Mr. and Mrs. You got to keep them together because they're madly in love. Okay. Andy sets them down in front of Bonnie before pulling out Slinky Dog. Now, Slinky here is as loyal as any dog you could want. Dude, I'm in the middle of reading this. There's like half left, and I am sort of losing it.
Yeah, I know. This is the first. I'm so excited.
Shut up. You shut your fucking... Pulls out Ham. And Ham, he'll keep your money safe, but he's also one of the most dastardly villains of all time. Evil Dr. Porkchop. Ooh, that was good. That pulled me out.
Yeah.
Because that was fun. Andy then places the two... Oh, this next... God. Here we go. Boy.
It's fine. Get there.
Andy then places the two with their friends before pulling out the three aliens. These little dudes are from the strange alien world. Pizza Planet. Oh, that's fun. That makes me feel good inside. The Claw.
The Claw.
And he sets them down before reaching into the box again. Okay.
Take a deep breath.
This is Buzz Lightyear, the coolest toy ever. Look, he can fly. Oh, and shoot lasers. And he pops open Buzz's wings and fires his laser. He's sworn to protect the galaxy from the evil Emperor Zurg. Bonnie takes Buzz from Andy and presses one of the buttons on his spacesuit. To infinity and beyond. Now you got to promise to take good care of these guys. They mean a lot to me. Oh, and now Woody. He's been my pal for as long as I can remember. He's brave, like a cowboy should be, and kind and smart. But the thing that makes Woody special is he'll never give up on you, ever. He'll be there for you no matter what. And this is after, like, Woody has been thought to be rejected by Andy multiple times, rejected his place in his world. And this is, like, Andy confirming that, you know, as important as toys can be to your childhood, like Woody was the first one and he'll be the last one.
Sure.
And as Andy is driving away in the car off to college, the last line of the movie is Woody saying, "So long, partner."
Oof.
And like,
done.
It's just done. Right. Like medium rare. Like yeah. Turn me over. Like yeah. I'm just dead. I don't know. You talk now.
No, I mean, you summed it up well. It's, it grew up with us, similar to how like the Harry Potter movies grew up when we were growing up in the same age range. This was a real feeling that a lot of us probably had going through our old toy closets, or, you know, having a tag sale or something of our old toys. Like, oh, it brings back so many memories. And I can absolutely say that about like my old stuffed bear when I was, you know, a baby, young. Mm-hmm. My mom still has it. And like every time I see it, I'm just like flooded with all of this emotion of being young and growing up and go, you know, it just, yeah, I it's so well done. Again, Pixar, again, multiple times, many times, hitting it out of the park.
Just straight genius shit.
Yeah, it's straight genius. Speaking of straight genius, mm-hmm. My number two does this also very well, and it's Coco.
Okay, I'm so glad you put Coco on your list. It was what the hardest one for me not to put on my top 10.
Oh, it wasn't even on yours?
No. And I absolutely adore. It was between Coco and Brave at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And Coco, I think, still to this day has the best screenshot in movie history.
It's
period.
So good. Yeah, it's so good. The wide
going
shot.
Over the bridge, yep. And seeing the land of the dead.
Oh.
Unreal. The yeah. music. Is so
the music
good.
Is so good. The colors, again, so good across the whole movie. But also, again, I feel like a broken record, but it's so true. Pixar putting to screen something that we can't even imagine to how it would be for real, which is how people pass away and what they do and how they come back to the ofrenda. And it's just... It's such a beautiful movie, and the culture is so cool. And
remember
this was
me.
One. Oh, yep. So I this was the one goodbye? that got me very, 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 very hard in the theater when Mama Coco hears "Remember Me" and remembers.
Oh my God.
Her
like
father
comes out of a dementia state and remembers
and,
her father,
and he now is able to be remembered. Because people remember him and have accepted him.
We've talked about, and we kind of like have been skating around this, although and touched it a few times, but like, and before I was like, remember how I'm dead inside? It's, it's just because of the amount of shit that goes into my eyes and goes into my ears and all of us, right? We're like, so there are these times where it just becomes incredibly hard to boil down an emotion and to boil down a feeling and to boil down an experience to a point where everyone can understand, including kids.
Sure.
And I think what you started with is really important. Coco, like, makes death digestible.
Oh, yeah.
For
makes
kids.
It makes people understand that.
That's crazy
it's okay.
important.
Yeah. And they do it so well. And the fact that they do it with the culture backing of it being like part of their heritage. Like, we remember our fallen family. We remember, you know, the people who have passed away in this very spiritual way of putting their picture on the ofrenda and remembering them so they can come and visit. And we put out offerings. But just like that whole, it was just so expertly done, because when I first saw the previews for Coco, I'm like, they're talking about dead people? Like, how is this going to go?
Yeah, right.
And it was so good with like the spirit animals and stuff. It was it's just so, so nice. And the whole, you know, story too, where there was a little bit of deception and, you know, the guy killed the other guy. Like, that was
he
pretty
was a murder.
Intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like murdered. He murdered him. And, you know, having that really bad person come to justice, even if in the afterlife. And yeah, it was just every single time I watch it, I well up with tears at two points. It's the point at the very end when he's singing to Mama Coco, and also in the dead center when he's singing to his buddy in the hammock that goes away because the last person remembered him and he has gone. Man. Yes, he is completely forgotten. That gets me every time.
You fade away when the last person remembers you.
Unreal.
just think about being seven and be like, Mom, Dad, what? Will someone forget me one day? Will everyone forget me one day?
It's
be like, no, no, you're fine.
It's crazy when you think about like how deep that is.
Something else, but, though, and because we covered it before,
yeah,
is like both of us, right? Like mid to late 30s, white dudes.
Yeah, sure.
This is also a glimpse into Latin culture that like of I would course. Never see otherwise.
And it's
I learned
so,
so many things.
Yeah.
Like, not only did it make me understand, think about, and like be okay or better about, we're talking about like emotions again, right? Like being okay, it's okay to be sad. It's also like, you know what? I'm not going to say the next thing because it's, I don't, a Pixar list is not to get weirdly about death, but like it is, you know. Coco's a good movie, man.
Dude, it's a great movie. It's and if anyone's listening and they've never seen Coco, please watch it. It's so good. And just again, masterfully done. What's your number one, my dude?
It's Ratatouille. It's a perfect movie.
Yeah, I freaking knew it'd be Ratatouille.
If you focus on what you left behind, you'll never see what lies ahead.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
dude.
You say words now.
Well, I was going to say the beginning of this movie was such a curveball a little bit to how it ended, because the rat's in the house. Remy's in the house getting like ingredients and
the critic's
food.
Mother, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the critic's mom.
And she
that's why he likes Ratatouille. It's because it's from her cookbook. Yeah,
see,
dude. Isn't that
I love
sick?
I love that so much. Thank you for that. But like she was shooting him with a shotgun. Like,
yeah, a big gun.
Dear God. Like, it was so chaotic in the beginning. And, but yeah, I just love the scene where they're on the top of the house and they get struck by lightning. And they're like, yes, it's got a pecan aftertaste. Like, and they're like talking about how it tastes because it's roasted garlic or something.
Yeah. There's, the reason I love this movie is because it's truly like at its core about never giving up. And, yeah. That is just something that I think gets lost, and it's very easy to give up, and it's very easy not to follow your dreams, and it's very easy not to do exactly what you feel like you were born for. And a movie that personifies like a little rat who follows his dreams and follows it all the way through. Oh, God, it murders me in the most positive way it could.
Yeah, I do love it. And I'm so glad that I rewatched it recently. It holds up so well. It really does hold up. Like sometimes you see a little bit of the graphics and stuff, but it's so relevant today, I think, too, with people with the grind of their job and not loving what they're doing. Like, why bother doing it? You should do it because you love it. And it is what it is, man. And it's
Gusto, dude. Only the fearless can be great. Like, he has so many good lines.
That's great.
Oh, by the way, also the ride at Epcot riffs.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
there's
it's so
a ride
good.
For Ratatouille.
Dude, you need to. It's so good.
I need to get to Disney because I haven't been again since like 2005. So I missed out on quite a bit.
I was like a reluctant Disney adult. Like because Sammy's family goes every year.
Yeah,
and at the beginning I was so like. Oh, does it? This isn't good. I'm going to wait in line for 3 hours at the Ratatouille. Ah, yay! Like, you know, this is so fun. You're like, oh, man, fun is something I should try to do.
No, I love Disney. I don't know that I would ever identify as a Disney adult, but I do really enjoy the nostalgia of Disney.
Yeah, I'm not putting labels on me or you or anybody. Sure. I just, you know, when you go to places, when you go to do things, have fun doing them, whatever.
Yep.
Blah, 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 blah. A Bug's Life is your number one.
A Bug's Life is my number one. So we'd like to thank our page.
Yeah,
no,
keep going.
Yes, thank you for hanging out with us for this, what is it, over an hour now. My God, this is probably one of our longest episodes in a while. We would like to invite you to subscribe to us on our Patreon at patreon.com/HBO Boys, B-O-I-Z. For one or more dollars a month, you can get exclusive stuff here and there and all these podcast episodes ad-free and early sometimes if we're good about it. But we also give you a shout-out at the end of the episode. So we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Howdy Dream Cowboys, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Buffalo Pizzle, Sizzle, Sea Fritz, and Cosmic Starfish number one. And we'd like to thank Brent Ginn for being our $5 a month tier patron. Thank you very much for that. And everyone else who subscribes, please follow us on our social medias at the HBO Boys or the HBO Boys Pod Podcast on Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok, anywhere where you can get a like, comment, or subscribe. We will take it. And so do that, and we'll see you there, I suppose. I never know how to end the ending when I talk about social media. So sure. What do you have to say?
To infinity and beyond. Thanks for the adventure, Adam.
Oh my God.
Shut up. You shut up.
Shut up.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.